WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Joel and Ethan Coen have made only 4 features, but film critic Stephen Schiff says they've already established themselves among the most fascinating contemporary filmmakers and the most mysterious. The Coens say they co-write their films and that Joel, the older one, directs while Ethan produces, but those who work with them say they're like one person in 2 bodies. Stephen has a review of their new movie, Barton Fink.
What's the sound of an audience at a showing of Barton Fink? Toward the beginning of the film, knowing chuckles. At the 1/3 mark, out-and-out guffaws. Halfway through, sharp gasps and occasional whoas and wait a minutes. At the end, silence, raised eyebrows, frenzies of head-scratching. Barton Fink is weird, no doubt about it. And because it goes from being a deft satire of Hollywood in the late 30s to a kind of grand guignol creep show, it might strike a lot of people that the Coen brothers are pulling their chain. Maybe so. But I've always liked the Coens' brand of chain-pulling. Yes, their characters are usually silly or dislikable, and yes, their bravura camera work has a show-offy edge. No one watching a Coen film has to be told it's only a movie. The picture itself is screaming that in your ear all the time. But the Coens are the smartest, most skillful pastiche artists now working in film. Like the good postmodernists they are, they appropriate like mad from every nook and cranny of movie history, and yet, from the shards they gather, they build structures that are unmistakably their own. Barton Fink may remind you at times of The Shining, and even of David Lynch, but what it really is a gonzo new version of Faust. Barton, played by John Turturro, is a leftish Broadway playwright in the Clifford Odets mold. He's lured to Hollywood, as Odets was, and put to work writing a typical wrestling picture, as though there really were such a thing as a typical wrestling picture. Fink checks into the ghastly Earl Hotel and proceeds to suffer an epic case of writer's block, while all around him mosquitoes buzz and bite, and wallpaper peels, releasing a gelatinous goo. Just when Fink's life is getting horror movie creepy, in bounces his next-door neighbor, the mysteriously affable Charlie Meadows, played by the unfailingly wonderful John Goodman. When Charlie hears that Barton's a writer, he's lost in admiration.
Well, what kind of venue, that is to say, thematically,
what do I write about?
Caught me trying to be fancy. Yeah, that's it, Bart.
Oh, that's a good question. Strange as it may seem, Charlie, I guess I write about people like you. The average working stiff, the common man.
Well, ain't that a kick in the head?
Yeah, I guess it is. But in a way, that's exactly the point. There's a few people in New York, hopefully our numbers are growing, who feel we have an opportunity now to forge something real out of everyday experience. Create a theater for the masses based on a few simple truths, not on some shop-worn abstractions about drama that don't hold true today if they ever did. I don't guess this means much to you.
Hell yeah, I could tell you some stories.
And that's the point, that we all have stories.
Unfortunately, Barton is so self-righteous and obtuse that you never begin to care about him. It's the film's biggest flaw. What overcomes that flaw and makes Barton Fink the startling entertainment it is the Coens' nod to Faust. You remember the story of the man who's offered knowledge and success in this life but must sell his soul to the devil to get it? Selling your soul is what high-minded writers have always thought the lure of Hollywood represented. But in the Coens' case, the studio boss isn't Mephisto after all. Goodman's Charlie is. The Coens' dark joke is that it's Barton's search for the common man, like Faust's search for knowledge, that leads him straight to hell. But, oddly enough, Charlie, who's both the devil and the only common man in sight, can't manage to buy Barton's soul, because Barton won't listen to him. Barton's too absorbed with his own idealistic prattling to receive the knowledge that Charlie has to impart. So, almost in spite of himself, Barton is saved. Booted out of hell and left to twist slowly in a vaguely pleasant purgatory, in short, Southern California. All of which sounds slightly heavier than it plays, but only slightly. Make no mistake, this is a comedy, but it's a very dark, disturbing comedy. In Barton Fink, the Coens take you to hell and back, and the ride may leave you feeling shaken.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.